Stop it, bro. No ghost talk. Yo, it's live, bro.
Yo, this is going to be the podcast. All right, fellas, let's hop into it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the AO Chill Podcast. It is June in Jersey. Y'all already know I got two other artists here for y'all. Guys, I don't think you guys need any introduction, but please take a couple seconds, minutes, let the people know who you are, and we'll start with my man over there, I guess.
Do I look at the camera?
Yeah, look at the camera. Let the people know.
Oh, hello. I'm Alejandro, producer, artist. I've been around for a little bit producing. Just recently became an artist, but right now we working with Groovy over here, making beautiful stuff from Dover, New Jersey. Yeah.
I bet.
Nice. My name is Groovy. I am from Union, New Jersey. Now I claim a bunch of different towns because that's how it goes. But I am currently a singer-songwriter, former rapper in the hip-hop collective Vibe World Order. I'm working very closely with my man Alejandro. He's doing all my stuff. Also, shout out to Danny, DJ Dannyverse. Shout out to Shane. Shout out to my band, Nicole, Iled, Sam, Bex, Curtis. We're doing the thing, man.
The gang.
Yeah, dude. So usually what I have people do, since it's Jersey, you know, we're talking about, we're in June in Jersey. Mm-hmm. Alejandro, we'll start off with you. You said you're from Dover.
Yeah.
Yo, describe Dover to me, bro.
Mad Hispanic, mad tiny. Facts.
I like that.
It's like, it's in Morris County, so it's a little weird because it's not around like everywhere else. So it's like in the middle. Like everything around it is just white towns. And then like, boom, Dover is just mad Hispanic. Like, I'm talking like, I think it was 85% last time I looked it up. Like, OD. High school was small. Mad Hispanics, you know, cultured.
Word, dude.
Yeah.
And what about Union, bro? Talk to me about Union.
Union is like very diverse. I grew up having like a friend of every ethnicity. It's not super small. It's not super big, but it's right in the middle of a bunch of like it's in the middle of like Irvington, Hillside, Maplewood, Elizabeth. So it's just a whole lot of diversity. Union's just very diverse.
Yeah, dude. I definitely feel that because it's like, I don't know how. It's weird when people talk about, like, you know, claiming a certain, like, you know, town. And it's funny how you just brought it up before. You were just like, yo, I'll be claiming a whole bunch of different towns.
Because,
like I said, you be everywhere sometimes, you know? And it's funny. I love Patterson to death. I don't know if I could claim it. I mean, I was born there, but I grew up in Little Falls. So it's not like I fucking grew up in the hood, you know what I mean? I grew up in the little city burbs of Little Falls, you know?
Vibes.
Yeah, but it was cool, though. I feel like when you get to grow up with mad diversity, like, it's the best. But also, I wouldn't hate growing up with just Latinos, too, because my Spanish could use some fucking work.
Oh, bro, so can mine, though. Still.
Yeah, dude. So tell me, fellas, we're going to start off with how you got into what you're doing today. So when did music first start in your life?
Who's first? You first?
Anybody could pick it up.
Okay. Damn, music. All right, so do I look at you? I can look at you?
Bro, you can look at me. Yeah,
okay, cool. Yeah. I like looking at you.
Yeah, dude, thank you.
All right, what's it called? Okay, music. My dad was big into music. My mom is very Christian, so she doesn't listen to music at all. It's like, if it's on the radio, it's like Star 99.1, like Christian radio. But my dad, he loved like Dr. Dre, 50 Cent, like, for some reason, mad West Coast shit. I don't know why, because, you know, we're here, but regardless, that's what put me onto rap. And then that was the first thing I attached to, like, OD. But I feel like everyone has a point in time where they start to do the research themselves, and then they really, like, oh, I love music, if they do, you know, whatever. But that point for me was when I first heard Good Kid, Mad City with Kendrick. That was, like, 2012 or whatever.
Word, yeah.
But, like, after that, bro, I was like, whoa, music can be this good? You know what I'm saying? Because, like, before you just hear whatever's around.
Like the radio shit.
Yeah, so now I'm like, it can be this good. It can be this thoughtful. And then I delved out. You know, you see so many album covers that are iconic. You don't know why they're iconic. So I had that curiosity. I listened to everything, like, freaking everything. So, like, first time I heard, the first Kanye album I listened to, like, all the way through was Graduation. I was like, bro, there's, like, low-key no skips on this shit. Like, like, what the, you know, and I just kept going. I'm like, wow, Kanye's so good. You know, it just going through everything, bro. Like, and then I thought everyone was like that, though, because, like, everyone loves music, you know? But that there's, like, levels to it, for sure, you know? And, like, once I realized that by talking to my friends and shit, and that they just didn't reciprocate the same passion, I was like, oh, maybe this is my thing, you know, like for real. And then, yeah. Wait, how we got to now? So I keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. Going. And then it was senior year of high school, And my whole life, I just said I was going to be a lawyer because, like, they get paid and they argue, you know, whatever.
Yeah, classic Latino, man.
Yeah. And then, but my senior year, I like, applied for Seton Hall to go there. And then, like, I got accepted, everything. And then I was like, nah, bro, like, I want to do music. It sounds mad random, but, like, that was it. You know what's funny? What pushed me was I used to work at Pizza Hut. That was my first job.
That's crazy.
And, yeah. And my coworker, I grew up with him, and he was like, yo, I'd be rapping if I had a producer. And then I was like, huh. So then I just started, like, I figured out how to start, and I started producing or whatever. And that was, like, 2016, 2017. And then I kept going, and no shade to him. Shout out him, but he never started. Like, but I kept going. And then I spent, like, a year. I didn't want to tell nobody because I wanted to be at least a little good. And then after that, it was on. I got placements for the first time. Like, it was this whole thing. But, yeah, that's how I started. Oh, my fault. And instead of going to Seton Hall, I went to William Patterson, and for music, I learned piano to get in because I did not know shit. And then that's how I met, like, you. Eventually, I met a bunch of people. Network got big, you know, and now we here.
Word. Yeah. Groovy. Floor is yours.
I feel like my music. Well, my interest in music. Similar to his, my father was really into music. My father actually was a DJ growing up.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, like I remember him doing gigs and stuff. So house music was my first introduction to music. And my first introduction to hip hop was Kanye, the Graduation album. My dad would play it all the time. So I just grew up hearing a lot of house music. So music was always a part of my life. I was like an Odd Future stan, like listening to hella Odd Future. Yeah, like listening to hella like ASAP. Like all the like identity defining moments of like hip hop, I was there for those. And then I met Reggie. Obviously, I'm sure everyone watching this knows Reggie. He was rapping like way before I even had the thought of making music. And he would always just be like, yo, like say something on the mic. And we would always be fucking around making like crazy like XXXTentacion sounding music. But he took it seriously. He had projects out, he would make music. And I think I featured on like one of his serious projects with like a serious verse, and people were like, yo, like you should do this.
Was that Pop Songs? That one? Or nah?
Yeah, it might have been Pop Songs.
I remember hearing that, but I don't remember like
I'm on like a couple songs on it. And then that same summer I put out my first mixtape, which is like a trap, rap, whatever type mixtape. And then we just slowly started forming the hip hop collective Vibe World. So I'm in Vibe World. I'm an active member. We put out an EP. We perform at the Afropunk Festival. And then we get signed to a record label under a distribution deal, Plus One Records.
Movie.
It was pretty crazy. Doing all this like rapper shit. And it all led up to a point, and then we finished our deal. And then so I kind of was like, damn, like, who am I, low-key? Because I had been in Vibro for so long. I had no artist identity as a solo act. And then all, like, the guys kind of did, or they were busy doing their own thing. Like, Jacob's his own artist. Reggie's his own artist. The group was, like, kind of on the back burner. And I was like, fuck, like, I don't know what I'm doing or who I am or whatever. And then the oldest member of Vibe World, Les, I, like, was kind of asking him for advice. And he was like, bro, you're just not trying hard enough. Mm. And he was like, you got no direction. You don't know what you're doing. He was like, you need to lock in and do something or, like, not do it. And that shit low-key, one, it hurt my feelings. I was like, in my bag.
It always does.
I was super in my bag after that, and I was just scrambling. I was like, yo, I need to find someone who, like, understands what I'm trying to do and, like, has the same type of energy as me. And this was the first person that came to mind.
Sick.
It kind of was like we had, like, only one song together by accident. Like, that's all we had ever had through my whole music career. And I was like, yo, like, can we link? And he was like, word. He sent me like a beat pack, and I made like three songs from the beat pack he sent me. And I thought they were all super crazy. He liked some of them.
Wait, so hold up. Is this how you guys first met? Like,
yeah.
I can tell you how it happened. It was like I had a session with Reg, and then I made the beat there. He got on it, and then I did like a little stuff on the hook. I wasn't really an artist yet. And then literally like that, and then COVID like just happened. And then maybe like half a year later, Reg is like, yo, my boy got on it.
But that was me.
What's funny is I knew of Groovy before though, because like I met Reg a while ago at a show, And then I saw like his old group thing, you know, and I looked into that tape he was talking about, the trap rap one or whatever. I was like, oh, this is cool. I would like to make shit for him one day, but I just never did. And then it just happened anyways. Yeah.
He was the only, because like obviously when you do music, you know a bunch of people who are like doing a little something, doing a little this, doing a little that. But he was the only producer who I could like recall where I was like, yo, that shit, like it had, there was something there, like something, a level up to where I'm trying to get to. Like it wasn't on my same level. It was a little bit above where I'm at. And I'm trying to, you know, you're going to surround yourself with people who you think can take you to a higher platform. So then when we started working like seriously together, I was like, okay, like he's a little more advanced than I am. I need to like stick around him. And then so like he's teaching me, I'm learning. And now we get to the point where now we're like, well, we're like almost 2 years from that point.
Jesus.
Where I feel like I've become way more of an artist from spending time with him. And then from him, I've built a network with other people, all the people who I named in the beginning, my band, are making me a better artist. So now I feel like, okay, I know who I am now because I surrounded myself with people who I knew would bring me up to where I wanted to be. So now I have an artist identity thanks to all the people who I've been, you know.
Word, nah, that's perfect. That's a great story, dude. Yeah, hell yeah, dude. So it's been 2 years now that you guys have been working together.
I think about two, yeah. Like, yeah. It's getting there for sure.
Yeah.
So how was it when you first get together? Because I feel like people, it's weird for a lot of people, right? Because it's like, when you're just starting as an artist and you're starting to learn all the like motions of everything, it's weird just to be like, yo, like, let's get into a room and like, let me feel out your vibe. Like, how did you feel? Cause obviously you guys definitely have some sort of connection. If y'all been together this long, like, what was it about each other that like drew you to like work?
Well, he's mad funny. So like, as soon as I would be texting him like, hey man, how are you? Like, can we schedule a studio session? Da, da, da. And he would send me like a picture of a naked minion or something like fucking wild like that. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yo, so is that a yes?
Yeah, like he would just send me all these like wild, like dank memes and shit. And I was like, okay, so like he's kind of funny. And then we just had like similar interests. Like you were into Pokemon and
Cancer
like,
Gang.
Yeah, we're the same zodiac sign and Playboy Cardi. And just like we just had like similar interests in fashion. And we had like at the time when I was doing like hip hop stuff still, we had a very similar like, yo, we're about to make this crazy early 2000s boom boom shit. And like we both were so into it.
And we did too.
Yeah, yeah. We made hella shit. Y'all never gonna hear it, unfortunately. But
why?
I think as time kept going on and I kept progressing, I realized that hip hop's not even my main focus.
I understand that though for sure. Yeah. I do.
I thought I had to do hip hop because that's what I knew. And I was like, oh, you can't do pop or R&B or all these other genres. That's not you. But I was like, as I was progressing, I learned that I didn't even know who me really was. And if I wanted to do R&B, all I would have to do is practice. And, you know, practice makes perfect. And I'm not saying I'm anywhere near perfect, but I'm in a way better place than I was like when we did our first pop song or our first R&B track. And so hip hop's just kind of slow right now. No more trap shit.
Yeah, the ideas flourished for like better now. I remember when we first, well, for me, for my side, it was like the demos he sent back I liked. You know, I remember like the first one, I was with my girl, and then I was like, oh, this is actually good. Like, she's like, oh, yeah. Because, you know, you get so much ass. Like,
yeah.
So it's like, it was exciting to have the session. It wasn't like, oh, let's just get this out of the way, you know? Mm. So that adds, like, all of it. And I've had, like, a bunch of sessions before. Like, I used to be a part of a big group. Like, I'm used to that. So it's like, you know, getting through it was cool. And then, yeah, we did this whole rap project. Like, we were in our bag. We were doing 2000 shit for real, but it was dope. And then one day he comes, he's like, yo, I'm going to do like pop. Like, and I'm like, okay, like I didn't really get it. And I would rather the rap shit still come out. But I know was like, well, I'm going to make him do rap shit still. Like that is going to be, that is not going to work. Even if he tried, you know? So we do the pop shit. And now, like, for example, like Come Around is an example of like him doing the pop shit now. And
fucking
like,
bangers.
And it's only getting better. It's surprising. It's like, oh shit, this is actually cool. You know, cool ideas, cool melodies, writing. Very cool. So I'm glad we went that way.
Sick. So how has this challenged you as a producer?
Oh my God. Like, cause like, I don't, that's a good question. So a lot of times I end up making shit that I never thought I would. And like, yeah, I think I listen to a lot of music because like, I like to take ideas, you know, like, at that point, it's like a tool almost. It's not even, I'm enjoying it. Like, I am enjoying it, but, you know, it's not just purely listening. I'm always looking for something that'll be like, oh, I can, that's so cool. I can take that, you know? So I think my experience with that made me able to make, like, pop on the fly or, like, R&B, you know, like, for sure. And, like, yeah, I don't know. It just, it definitely is challenging sometimes. Cause I like, he'll be like, yo, I want to do this. I'm like, how the fuck am I going to do that? But it always works out.
Yeah, we always do it.
Word. Yeah. And how have you feel like, so you said none of those songs are going to come out?
The hip hop ones? No. Yeah. I can't see it happening.
If I take them.
Yeah. Like unless like he remixes it or unless I get like wildly famous out of nowhere and I just got songs to leak cause I can't, you know what I mean? Like, but other than that, no.
Do you feel like you're proud of those songs though?
Yeah, I think I like all of the, like the EP that we have together that's hip hop. I like it and like listen to it from time to time, but it doesn't fit like the image I'm in right now. It doesn't fit like the brand I'm trying to push. It doesn't fit the genre circle I'm in right now. So it just wouldn't make sense to do.
So then talk to me about what you are trying to push and what you're trying to do today that's different.
I am trying to do pop, R&B, funk, like funk pop. I'm like in the indie scene a little bit. Like I do shows in the New Brunswick scene, as I was saying before, where kids are like really rocking out with like bands and stuff. I'm trying to be like more singer-songwriter than rapper now. I want to be a great performer. Like I want my performances to always be hype. Like I just added a keyboardist to my band. Like I'm trying to build up my stage presence and my stage production. I just feel like when you're a rapper and you're trying to become a better rapper, that's such like a pigeonhole lane because like all people expect of you is just to have more bars, get crazier, dress flyer, whatever. And like none of that shit was feeling fulfilling for me in that time. Whereas now, like when I go to shows and people are like dancing and like telling me how good the show was and like how me and my backup singer were really in tune and like how the drummer and the band, like how we all just like look great together. That's like what means something to me. And I feel like it also just matches my personality better. Like, I feel like as a rapper, like, I think I can rap. Like, I think I'm a good rapper, but it didn't reflect, like, who I feel like I am.
That's probably, like, the biggest part.
Yeah.
But, like, also, yeah, it wasn't ass. His delivery is great as a rapper. He'd be rapping for real. Like,
sick.
Yeah, but he had, like, a lot of power. Like, it was dope.
I think I have an interesting question.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you moving from rapping and getting more into the funk pop, you know, and all that is less of you not wanting to do rap, but more you adapting to what could be more successful in your environment?
For sure. I definitely think that the music I make now is more marketable. I think now I'm more marketable. So yeah, like nickels and dimes are definitely in it a little bit. To me, with who I am as a person, not to say the genres themselves, but who I am, I think I'm more marketable in pop, funk, R&B than as a rapper. However, I do think rap overall currently is more popular and more marketable if you're willing to take that lane.
Yeah, because like I've talked about this to a lot of like artists, mm-hmm. producers. Like Jersey is not necessarily the place to be a rapper right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think if you are, you always end up somewhere else, you know? Like, how many shows is Coi Leray selling out in Jersey?
Yeah.
How many shows is, I don't even know who else is popping in Jersey. Like
also, shout out to Coi Leray.
Yeah. She's dope. I actually have a little crush on her, to be honest.
She's great.
And I just think she's talented. Like, I feel like she gets too much hate.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think she's talented. She's bad. Like, we're not going to just... She's definitely good looking, but I think she's talented. I think she has great stage presence. I think she's a good writer, all that.
Great songs.
Yeah, bangers.
It was crazy when she was getting all that hate. I forget when was that. Like, when she was performing and people were just, like, hating
her. Oh, yeah. Because she was doing some pretty animated stuff on stage. But I think it's cool. It's artistry, you know?
Yeah, bro. You do your thing. And you know what's great? The best thing is, like, she kind of just took it on the chin.
Oh, yeah.
And just fucking powered through. Because, like, even now, like, you know, she be doing her thing. And it's great. And to see her, how she collabs with everybody else.
Absolutely.
Is dope. And it definitely puts, like, Jersey more on the map. You know, anybody who's, like, I think she's probably, like, I don't know. I'm trying to really think about any other Jersey artist who, like, you know, pretty much claim Jersey.
At that level, I think it might be her only. Maybe. Yeah, that level.
Because sure. SZA don't be claiming her.
Oh, shit. I forgot.
She don't be claiming her.
Yeah, dude. A lot of
people. Shout out
SZA. Yeah, shout out SZA, bro.
Scorpio. We putting SZA in the pack, bro.
What?
If SZA don't come do something for me, pack.
You know, it's weird. I hear a lot of things in the industry, like not hating on SZA at all. I don't even think this is necessarily a SZA story. I think I heard like something on a podcast once about her, and like her being like very hard to work with and stuff. Really? But like you hear a whole bunch of stuff on podcasts. But it's funny. I was actually just talking to Shane upstairs about this. How weird it is. How artists are probably like the weirdest people to work with and the strangest people to work with. Mm. Have y'all ever like ran into those situations? I mean, like Alejandro, you as a producer, definitely like you know probably had some weird people in the booth before.
Yeah, it's just it's from everything from the first interaction before you even go inside, like but like messaging each other weird. They never pull up, but like acting weird. Weird. You see them in person. Weird. And there's so many things that just get weird, you know.
Artists be weird.
Yeah, some, but there's some that are still good and you record with, and they just have like weird ways or methods or whatever. Like it's just there's a bunch of stuff that can go, weird. And I think being an artist in general will just make you go mad because I have a crisis like every week. Like this just sucks. But we here.
What about you, Goofy? You ever have some weird people you have to interact with?
People just be like, they just act fun. Either like they're on like a super high horse, or they're like OD dick riding, or like they're trying to like be cool or be interested just because they think that's what they're supposed to be doing. Like it's just a lot of like not I guess playing a role. Yeah, not authentic. Like a lot of times, someone will reach out to you, be mad excited, and then you just never hear from them ever again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what the fuck? Like you reached out to me, you know what I mean? So yeah, artists are weird.
The OD OD dick riding one is probably the weirdest one. Yeah, like yo, you meet someone that's like that, it is so weird. They're like groupie, like woman or man or whatever. Mm. Like they'll be groupie, like yo, we gotta do. Or if they suck, I feel like you should know what level you're at, bro. Like that, you know,
yo, that's a good. People need to know what level they're at. Really important.
You want
to
know why? Because if you know you're not there yet, you wait, and then you'll meet them at the proper time instead of like, yo, let's work.
Looking
and
like
your
a
ass.
Scrub. Yeah. Like you embarrassing yourself.
You know, what's actually funny about that topic is the second to last podcast of June in Jersey is just going to be a solo podcast with myself.
Oh, wow.
And it's just going to be me talking to the camera and giving out all the secrets.
Interesting.
Giving out all the secrets of the industry, what I think people should be doing, how to market yourself, how to collab with other people. Like, I'm just going to talk about it because I'm sick and tired of, like, I think Jersey in general, like, knowing where you are, like, you can't know where you are as an artist, especially if you're completely new. One, like, let's say you live in the middle of fucking, I don't know, like pick a fucking random ass town, right? Let's go Marlboro. Okay. Let's pick that town, right? And I actually had an artist there from there, but he's in a rock band, so it's a little bit different. But let's say you're a hip hop artist from Marlboro, New Jersey.
Yeah.
So you're in the middle of the fucking sticks, right? You have nobody else around you. How are you supposed to judge where you're at if you have no one else around you, right? There's no really foundation for artists to go to. And it sucks because when you meet other people, sometimes they're not as open. So, like, for example, in my case, right, I have ever since I started, like, the podcast and ever since it came up a next level with production and everything and with the studio, I've had every single kind of person hit me up. You know what I mean? People who are... I don't care about followers, bro. I really don't give a fuck. Actually, I don't even care about likes either, bro.
Yeah.
Like, if I see you have a good vibe, that's what I care about. But, like, you know, I have some people who hit me up and they have the cheesy ass, you know, like, little, like, rap pictures and shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The best.
Yeah, you know, and, like, they still have, like, they're standing in front, like, you know, like, just a picture like this, you know, mad baggy shorts, baggy shirt, you know?
It's a vibe. That's me right now.
And, you know, like... But who's going to be there for those artists to help bring them up? You know what I mean? And I think when you look at it, it's like if we don't have a foundation of people who are also welcoming other artists, like it kind of works like, I don't know if I was talking to you about it, Alejandro, but it's kind of like sports, you know? When you look at sports, how young do people start?
The beginning.
Babies, yeah.
Babies, right? Right. And from there, you kind of start weaving out, OK, who's good at basketball? Yeah. Let's say basketball, for example. Right. It's like, OK, who's good at basketball? And they start coming up. Right. Then middle school, then high school. You know, are you playing JV? Are you playing varsity? Then the varsity kids end up going to college. The college kids, whoever's the best in college, they end up going into fucking, you know, the fucking NBA and shit. League, yeah. Right. But not everybody's going to make it to the NBA. But how many of those kids who don't make it to the NBA are coaches?
Yeah.
How many of those people are helping train the other kids who are going to make it to the NBA? True. You know what I mean? So it's like when you have these artists who come in, and it's crazy because like I see it all the time, man. Like I'll see a producer and I'll see them shun the fuck out of somebody, bro. I've seen it in the industry all the time. Why are you smiling over there?
That's a vibe sometimes.
Sometimes people,
listen, I think it's weird, dude, because it's like to hold yourself to such a high standard. It's like, what's the balance? What's the balance between I'm at this level and you need to work yourself to like, you know, like also taking the time to teach them. You
for
know?
Me, the balance, I wanted to hop in. I wanted to touch on something you said before.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You had said like when you got to the new space and you like upgraded all your equipment, and you upgraded your production value. That to me is like the balance is how much effort are you putting into your craft before you ask for a handout?
Oh my God.
How good are you? How much, like, how many hours do you put into your craft? What is your production level? Like a lot of times, like a videographer or someone will hit me and be like, yo, we got to shoot a video. And then I look at the video and it's just like in front of a gas station and like the him shaking the camera like this and shit. And I'm like, bro, no, you can't shoot a video for me.
Literally.
And I'm definitely not paying for it. Like, you know what I mean? It's like if you don't have a good product, if you don't have a good talent, if you're not skilled, you can't expect people to give you a chance.
Facts.
Because to me, that says you don't take yourself serious. I'm not going to put a song out unless it's mixed, mastered, everything's perfect, everything's balanced to the best of my ability. Because I can only do like my best, but you got to do your best to expect anyone to want to help you.
No, big facts. Yeah. No, big facts.
Sometimes they just got to like put their head down and work longer in the tube until they can get that handout or whatever. And then we'll notice. You know what I'm saying? If you're hard, we'll come to you pretty much.
Facts.
You know, but also, damn, I was going to say something. Oh, and like being a producer, bro, like you basically, you know how women have to deal with people beasting trying to Mac all the time?
Yeah.
It's like being a producer. They be beasting. People hit me up all the time. And if it's ass, like, it's like, bro, like, no, you know, like, no. Maybe that's why I got boundaries, Groovy. We were talking about that the other day. You remember?
Oh, yeah. I was telling him how he sets good boundaries with people.
That's good, though. I definitely need a little bit more of that because I'm a soft-hearted person. You know what I mean?
Me too. You know, so crab
like,
gang.
And it sucks because, like, sometimes you get that person who's just, like, they're pouring out the heart to you. But like they just not there yet. But you wanna help them.
Sometimes you still know? Do though. You know.
Yeah.
But,
for sure.
But it's like,
it's that effort, bro. Like, if someone's not good at making music, like let's say it's just not for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. You might just be like, yo, you know, like I don't think this is for you. But if it's clear that someone has talent, but they're not putting in the hours. Then it's even worse, in my opinion. Like, if you're a good rapper, but you have no songs out, and or all your content is just like you freestyling in the car, you know what I mean? Like, just very low effort content. To me, it's like, come on, bro. I'm not gonna repost you. I'm not gonna help you out because you're not showing any effort.
Word.
If your cover arts are trash, like you, like all that stuff to me is important. Yeah. Your image is important. Like the way you present yourself as an artist or anything you do in the creative space is important. And if it's not up to par, you can't expect people to want to help you.
No. I actually think those are all fucking valid points, bro. For sure. For sure. Because it's weird. Because like, yeah, once you do start making like that next level moves and shit, like it definitely changes the game and changes the way people take you seriously. And it's wild because it sucks when you know like. This is gonna sound mad pretentious, but I think it's a valid
point,
bro. Because it's like, at some point when you're doing this, you know you're the shit. You know what I mean? And you gotta have that mentality to make it out in this dog eat dog world, right? Mm-hmm. And at one point when I was like, it wasn't like when I started the podcast. I think it was like after I got into a flow of like talking to people, and like I would hear people be like, "Oh, that's a good question." I'd be like, "Hey, I didn't think about it like that," you know? I'd be like, "All right, I could do this podcasting shit, right?" But then, like, it's funny, it's even today, you know, even with the production and, like, you know, even it being for free, you know what I mean? It's not like anybody pays to be on here, right? I'll still get rejected hard as fuck, bro. And I kind of love that, though, because it's humbling.
Like, artist?
Not necessarily artist yet, but, like, for example, like, I was really trying to get entrepreneurs on for June in Jersey, right?
Gotcha.
Like, it was a big thing. And I went up to these different people, and I went to this one T-shirt printing shop. I'm not gonna rip them, but they're actually here in Booton. So.
Fuck them.
But, like, I literally went up there, right? And I had my iPad and everything, and I had, like, all my portfolio set and everything. And I went up to him, and I was like, hey, dude. I was like, it's nice to meet you. And he was not having it, bro, like, at all. And I was like, oh, I just want to let you know, like, I have a studio over here. I do podcasts. And I was like, I peeped your business. I think it's dope. Like, it's for free, like, all this stuff. Actually, I didn't mention the free part, so maybe he thought I was trying to sell to him. But, bro, literally, like, it's crazy because it's, like, no matter how big I get, I never want to get to the point where I'm treating other people like shit. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
For sure.
I think that's super important. Because like at this point, I handed him my iPad to look at this shit. He literally grabbed it. He was like, yeah, I think we're good, bro.
Hey,
yeah. And I was like, yeah. Fuck. I was like,
was he old? Like older?
He was like maybe like late 30s, early
40s. Oh, that's not that bad. Damn. No,
we putting him in a pack too.
Well, at least he missed out on the production on the
That's what I was gonna say. I was like, you gotta know about yourself. Like, look, like all this shit. We're in your studio with these high quality ass mics, high quality likes. Lights, high quality camera. You know that you're at a level to where you can present to anyone at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not Kanye. Maybe Kanye wouldn't come here, but like,
but I'd love to have Kanye. Bro, you know, shout out Kanye now.
Yeah, low key Kanye. He probably would come here and say some crazy shit. But like, your production value is high. Like, there would be no reason for me to be like, yo, I don't think this is a good look. It is a good look. You know what I mean? Like,
but the equivalent of that is like, you know how long it took for you to get all this stuff, right?
True. Yeah, bro.
But that's like us who like we work like 5 years making music, and then this one kid's like, "Yo, I just made a demo. Yo, you want to get on it?" Or like, "Yo, can I get beats?" And they just started on their phone. Like,
yeah.
Like, you feel me? Like,
And you can't be taking chances on everybody like that, because then you just be fucking packed.
And you'd be wasting your time. Like, I think that's one thing, you'd be wasting your
that's
time.
That's what sets the
time
boundaries.
Is literally money.
Yeah.
So how do you set good boundaries then?
He'd just be like, "No."
Bro, there are so many ways to like. Like, as I got older, I started to understand why people were like, yeah, sure, bro, let's do it. And then it just never happened. I understand that. It sounds so fake, but, like, I remember younger being like, why do people do that? Like, that's wild, fake, whatever. I understand it now because, one, so much shit is going on. Like, so much shit. Like, you. Like, I remember I didn't answer your DM because it's like, bro, like, my mental capacity is, like, at its height. So, like, there's doing that, like, yeah, sure, bro. Or, like, just there's ways to talk to people. Like, you know, oh, you want to do this? And I'm like, oh, that'd be tight. Like, but that doesn't necessarily mean, like, yeah, let's do it. That's why sometimes if I'm serious, I'll be like, yeah, let's do it. Like, you want to set a date now? You know what I'm saying? Because there have been so many times where nothing happens or whatever. There's just ways to talk to people to get the message across lightly. You know, all of that, especially as a producer, like if he records something and the take is bad, you don't just say that shit was ass, because why? You don't have to say it that way. Just be like, let's do it again, like, you know, or you can do it better or whatever. Like,
he's real good at constructive criticism, or like offering another solution to something you might have thought was cool. Like, oh, let's try it this way. Like, oh, I think you can do that take a little better. Like, oh, let's run it 3 times. He taught me like the 3-4 times method, where now anytime I record anywhere, I do the same take 3-4 times, because the second one could always be better. The third one could always be better. He's really good at that.
I don't even know how that happened, to be honest, because I learned that while working with you, too.
Oh, really?
It's not like it was something. Yeah.
Oh, I thought
or
you
maybe
just...
either with myself or with you, like one of the two.
Well, I do this all
I
the
think
time.
I think like naturally, like in the mixing process as well, you know, like when you go deep into it, it sucks because there has to be like a balance when it comes to mixing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like if I have an artist and I'm recording him or anything, it's hard because... For example, let's take Billie Eilish, right?
Mm.
And y'all know her production style.
Yeah.
Bro, she'd be recording herself like 80 fucking times, bro. Mixing up all the voices, layering it, and then also trying to find like they were dissecting, like, you know, her, like, she took 60 takes and she was like, oh, I like the way I said I, like if I say I love you so much, right? She's like, I like the I from the first take, love from the second take, you from the 60th take. And I'm like, damn, bro, like, you really
60 takes is crazy, but
60 takes is outrageous. But we do be doing that, like, especially him. Like, he'd be like, oh, you said like love cool in this take, and then we'll take the love and like put it into the main take, and like,
word, dude. So how do you feel like your dynamic between in the session, like, what do you accredit your guys as like success or like the ability to work together? Like, how do you get to that type of level? I don't know if I'm asking that question right.
Like, why do we work together well?
Like, what makes it different for you guys to work together and work so well than with you get, besides you, like, working with another producer?
Oh, well, for me personally, I feel like he has a good ear. So, like, his beats never sound like mid. Or like just like he doesn't make C level stuff. All his stuff is either A or he's gonna scrap it. Like, we'll be in the studio, we'll be working on something. I'll be like fully writing to it, almost done, and he'll be like, honestly, Groovy, I don't like this.
I think that happened yesterday.
Yeah, not for real. Like, we'll be fully into working on something and he will delete it. And to me, that shows, okay, he actually gives a fuck on what's going on here. And I'm just into his style. Like, he makes very like. he's got that bop, you know, like we're just like nodding your head. Like his 808s are always hitting crazy. He's very smooth when we're doing R&B stuff. And I write fast. So like I like to like sit and write while he's like doing the melodies and stuff. And I think we just have good chemistry in that way. Like I can see he's feeling the melody. I'll be like kind of reciting what I'm writing and like I can tell he's vibing with it. And it just is very, we mesh well.
Mm. Yeah, I think number one is like you respect the skill, you know, the each other's skill. Cause for me, if I think I'm like I'm carrying you, that's gonna kill the vibe already, you know. But he does write really quick, actually. That's facts. And write well. That's what I'm saying. Like, the skill is there. And, like, that means a lot. And then it's, of course, like, personality and shit. And we're just cool. We're chilling.
It's my dog.
Very chill. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think what other producers do that I don't like.
Yeah, you know what? I think a good way to put it, too, is, like, as a producer, what makes an artist great to work with? And then as an artist, what makes a producer great to work with?
So he's definitely not a yes man. I don't like yes man producers or engineers. Like when I come out the booth, I don't want you every single time to be like, yo, that was great. Because every time is not crazy. Like sometimes I'll mess up or sometimes I could have done a little better. Like I need someone to like be cool, be my friend and like make me feel comfortable, but also push me. And like he definitely pushes me every time we're in the studio. And you told me this that I didn't realize about you at first, but he doesn't use like sounds that everyone else uses. So like when I'm listening to his production, a lot of it is like in his style from sounds that he curates, not just like off Splice or some shit. And I appreciate that more now knowing that and working with him versus working with other people.
And then on my on my end, I think honestly, if the skill, if we make magic together, I might deal with a lot of bullshit. Not saying Groovy does that, but I'm saying like with other people, like I'll probably deal with a lot if it goes crazy. But I guess one being open, like being malleable, you know, open to my ideas because I have a lot too. And like I'll be like, bro, let's do this. That would be so cool. And then he's like, all right. So that, you know, shit, like just being open for it as well. That's a big one. The skill is even bigger. I think that's it for me, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't think I've dealt with people with like big attitudes, really. I don't think it's gotten that far, you know, but yeah.
You know, I think what's interesting about the dynamic of working with each other is that at this point where you guys are in your career, like you're at the next level of like, you know, making music. And I think what separates what you guys are doing, especially from like, cause I don't know if you guys could remember, but like, you know, the bedroom type recording where you're just like, you know, in the bedroom,
still be like
going in the closet, you know what I mean? Yeah, it'd still be like that. But like, how do you not obsess over one piece of work? Because I think that's what a lot of artists struggle with when they're starting out. Like they'll have this one song and they'll be like, oh my God, like I'm so in love with this, but like, you know, they just can't get the sound right. And instead of moving on and finding other stuff to work on while letting that simmer, like how do you get over that?
A lot of people definitely get stuck in that for sure.
I'm kind of stuck in it right now. But I think what's cool about with him being my producer is that like half of this is his. Like literally the beat is him, the lyrics are me, we're sharing the song. And so when I'm getting like cold feet or I'm feeling stressed out and he's like, nah bro, like this is it, like we should push this, I know he wouldn't just say that because his name's attached to it too, you know what I mean? We kind of are like tethered in that way when we put out music together, to where if he's telling me like he's got his faith in something, I'm like, okay, I trust it, I trust his ear, and I trust his stock in this. So it kind of moves me along when I'm feeling like nervous.
Word.
But in the beginning, it's like the beginning is when that I feel like that happens the most too, like because like people just they make that first step and make a song for the first time and they just be sitting on that for like weeks and shit. But you gotta like really, you gotta work, you just gotta keep doing it, even if it's ass, at least you did something today. That's what it is. Like I could make 5 ass beats, but I'm gonna still feel good that day because I put in the hours, you know what I mean? You gotta look at it as like practice. It is like sports. You know, I relate everything to like sports and shit, or like anything, working out, you know. You have to go there, you have to put the time in, and you get better, you get bigger, you get more athletic, whatever. You know, everything goes up. It's like RuneScape.
That shit is fine.
RuneScape is fire.
It's like RuneScape. Life is RuneScape.
Life is not RuneScape.
I'm gonna quote that.
I'm telling you, bro. My beat making level, you feel me? But the what's cool about life is that it breaks down into the most minuscule things. So, for example, I have a beat making level, and then I have like a R&B beat making level, and then I have a R&B beat, R&B drums level, and then I have like interacting with artists in the studio. And, you know, there's, you know, life is
specific.
So many little things that you can get really good at. Networking, you know, all that shit.
True.
But, yeah. But to get out of it is to work. You gotta just make shit. Just every day make shit. And it's easier for me to say, because like I'm a producer. If I need to, all I need is my laptop and headphones. You know what I'm saying? Artists, it's a little harder if you don't got the space and all that. And I do get that. But there's people that are making it work too. You know,
How do you feel about it from an artist standpoint though? Because I feel like you as an artist and you as a producer are two different people.
As an artist, I mean, I'm still, okay, so.
Because I feel like what he's saying, because you were saying, like, you just keep making stuff. But I think the question is, when you have a song that you think is about, like, you're about to do it, but then you're kind of holding back, how do you deal with that?
You just gotta tell yourself it's ass and then come better. And it's the worst when you're the artist, bro. No, we'll scrap the verse and redo it. Or, you know, that's probably one of the hardest things
making me cry.
I've had to realize, I've had to push myself to do as an artist, and it's re-record it, because it's like, bro, like, you know, but if you know that verse can be better, or you know the delivery can be better, you just got to, you know, like, I feel like, well, like, what, like what he said, like, I trust my ear very, very well, very much. That's probably like the number one thing for me. And like, so I'll know it's ass, like, and I trust my ear. So it's like, all right, I got to do something about it. Annoying, you know, but you just got to push yourself. It's a lot of self-pushing, a lot, but that's in everything, you know. Everything is everything. Facts.
Everything is everything. Facts.
How do you guys deal with writer's block, or when you get in a rut where you just are uncreative? Because I've had different artists here, and it's crazy, dude, because I don't. Actually, that's a lie. I feel like me not putting out music kind of proves that I'm in a creative rut, because I haven't put out music in like fuck.
I mean, you are creating though.
Yeah. It's like a different muse. You know what I mean? Sure, I feel like I definitely need. I kind of like skip in between like music, podcasting, doing other stuff. But I think like one of the hardest things is like, you know, being in the studio and like not being able to create or something. Like, how do you guys deal with that? And especially when it comes to beat making, sometimes it's like you'd be looking back at your portfolio and like, damn, this is generic. Like, what the fuck am I doing? You know?
That might be worse than when I make something ass. I'm like, damn, this sounds like some
is crazy.
This sounds like some YouTube shit. Fuck. Like, yeah. Like literally that's happened sometimes.
Drake
like,
type beat.
Yeah. I go first. I forgot the question. What was it again?
Like, how do you deal with that's cool, bro. How do you deal with that writer's block?
Like, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I like to I feel like everyone is different, but for me it's like it mainly happens if I take a break. If there's like a day or two I don't make anything, when I come back, there's a high chance I'm gonna make ass. If I'm consistent, I'm consistently getting that like serotonin boost from making something hard that day. I'm at the top level. My blade is sharpened. You know what I mean? If I take a break, I'm like, well, this shit, but it, you know what it feels like? Like, well, so then I guess my answer would be, you just gotta literally work through it. Like, make the ass, make the writer's block, like, make the ass, get it out of the way. It's like you have to just dig yourself out of that hole, literally. And by digging, it's like working. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how it is, how it is for me. And it sucks sometimes, but. And, like, I feel like everyone knows what that's. I remember one day he's like, yo, like, I got writer's block. I'm like, oh, that sucks. Like, I was like, oh, that sucks. Why do I say it sucks? Because I know he has to dig himself out of that hole, you know? And we all know what that's like. So it's like, yeah. If you. People who wait for inspiration, that is not the way, because you're not going to make nothing. You have to work through it, bro. Anybody that says that, I'm like, bro, you got to work through it, bro. Like, or else you're just never going to make anything ever. Maybe one day when you get it and when you get the inspiration and you're in the right place at the right time, then maybe you will. But that doesn't happen.
And inspiration is so like fleeting.
Exactly. You just got to work.
Yeah.
Literally, you just got to.
It's a fleeting feeling.
Yeah. But yeah, you can go ahead.
For me, I have to lower the stakes. Like, whenever I have writer's block, it's when I'm trying to write something that I think I'm going to release. Like, I'm like, okay, like, I need a follow-up to what I just did, because what I just did was good. So we got to write something, and, like, it's got to be this. And it's good. Like, that's when I start to, like, I go blank. But then, like, if I go to, like, his crib or any producer's crib. And I'm like, yo, let's just have a good time and like just see what happens. That's when shit gets popping. That's when I have so many ideas because like the stakes are so low. And like, I guess in a way, it's almost like my inhibition is gone. Like, I don't care what I'm saying. I can say whatever. And as long as it sounds cool and we're having fun, that's all that matters. So you just got to bring the fun back into it. Like, sometimes I'll change genres. I'll try something I never tried before. Or, like, I'll just be like, fuck it, let's just make some trap shit real quick and have a good time. And, like, it gets you just flowing back in that momentum.
Digging yourself out. Dig. And as the artist, it's a lot of that, like, what Groovy has to deal with for sure. Like, but, yeah.
Nah, I definitely feel that, dude. And I think what's a good example, and actually I'm interested to hear from you guys. I don't think enough people realize how many hours actually goes into this shit, you know? And I'll be frank with y'all. Like, for example, this June and Jersey shit.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, this shit.
I'm sure you've been pulling your hair out doing this.
This shit's been painful, bro. Yeah. It's funny. I always have, I talked about it on a podcast before, every month. I'm a very spiritual person. Okay. It's funny. I always have these themes that become like regular. Mm. And it's actually funny. The reel that we were talking about that was popping off like today or like yesterday. At the end of that reel, I talked about the theme of that month, last month, which was like, it never gets easier to be grateful for what you have, right? Because you're always leveling up, but you always kind of want more. But it's never like, oh my God, I'm so grateful to be here. It's like, oh my God, I need to put in more work.
Yeah.
This month's theme was really just pain and work. It wasn't necessarily that. Actually, this month's theme was actually think bigger picture. That was the thing that came around a lot, where a lot of people were talking to me about. They were like, you got to look at the bigger picture shit, dude. You can't just be so tunnel visioned and be like, oh, I'm going to be the successful artist. Oh, I'm going to be the successful rapper. It's like, nah, it's like, instead of just that, it's like, I'm going to be successful, but I'm going to know that through the effect it has on everything else. You know, bigger picture. Whose lives am I touching with my music? How am I changing people's lives with my music? How is my music affecting other people? Is it making them feel good? Is it making them feel bad? Am I working hard enough to do those things, right? So, coming all around, the thing I'm trying to get to is like, so for me, doing this June and Jersey shit, like there's been days where I came in 8 a.m., I left at 3. You know,
three p.m. or 3 a.m. Oh my
fuck.
Goodness!
Yeah, dude. Because like I gotta render the videos, I gotta edit the audio, I gotta edit the video.
Please tell me you're taking naps in between.
Somewhat, you know, like not every day has been like that. And like through that, I actually learned that through the sound engineering program at Willie P.
To nap,
dude. I've mastered the 5 minute nap, bro. The 5 minute nap is crazy. If I nap for 5 minutes, I shit you not, I'm good for half an hour. Like, really? At 100%, yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Like, even if you do something, like, I learned this, like, through watching, like, Navy SEAL podcast. If you put your legs up on a chair and, like, you kind of, like, almost like an L and you put your back flat on the ground, you'll fall asleep within, like, a minute.
Bro, I do 20-minute naps. Actually, really? I'm kind of off the naps now, but I used to do, like, 20-minute naps just so, like, I can, like, let's say throughout my day, whether I had work or back then with school, like, I can reset. You know, that's what it felt like, a good reset for the day. Like, I'm not carrying any type of stress that was with me before.
Word.
Yeah, but I stopped because I was getting moody.
Yeah, no, I get mad cranky. First thing when I wake up in the morning, bro, or I wake up from anything, I'm cranky for like an hour.
I need that coffee. I'm like,
yeah, need that coffee. That coffee's crazy. Mm. I try to stay away from it, too, because my boys who, like, went to engineering and shit, bro, like, you know Nathaniel, right?
Yeah.
Bro, Nathaniel drinks like 3 cups a day.
Oh, I'm at sometimes, 2.
Like, I try my best because, like, as you get older, like, caffeine's a drug. Mm-hmm. So, like, your body gets more tolerant to it, right? And I'm not even going to lie, if you give me a full cup of coffee, I'm wired, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fucking wired. Yeah. It's like I'm on fucking crack, bro. Like, I get too excited. Like
cocaine. Yeah. I get anxious. I drink, like, half because I get anxious. It'll fuck with me for
bad
sure.
Bad anxiety.
Word, so I don't know why it took so long to get to this fucking question. How many hours do you actually put in now that you're doing this full time?
I feel like it never stops. Like when I'm at work, I'm thinking about music. I'm checking my engagements on Instagram. I'm like singing little melodies in my head. There's hella times where I'll get a cool like lyric idea and I just jot it down. Like I feel like I am never fully resting. Like I'm never just completely off of it.
Yeah, low key. But for me, in terms of like literally going downstairs and making music, it's every day, like every day after everything. Like I can put in like four to three hours a day, every day. Yeah. So it's like, Yeah. But it is throughout my mind every day. Like when I'm in a car, I'm listening to music sometimes too. A lot of times it's to find something new
studying,
I never heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah. To get that
or
excitement.
Or even like wardrobe, like how you dress is very like a part of your brand as a person. Yeah. Like your wardrobe is kind of work. Like I have to buy clothes that fit my image. I'm anytime I go somewhere, like that's like a party, I'm not having fun. I'm networking. Like I remember one time someone asked me like, yo, what do you do for fun? And I was like, nothing. Like it's all
when you get to that point, yeah. When you did everything that day, and then you're like, damn, what do I want to do right now? Like, literally, can't think of anything.
That's tough. You know, it's funny. I actually have a funny story about like not being able to relax anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be hitting strip clubs sometimes, right? And funny
vibe.
And I've been trying to get a stripper on the podcast for a minute.
That would be fire.
It's crazy. So like I'll always wait. Like I'll be sitting on the stage, right? And it's crazy because my boys, you know, they're obviously there, like see ass shake, right? I don't even give a fuck, bro. I'm trying to make eye contact with the girl so I could read her mind and be like, is she chill? Because sometimes you could just get that when you look at a person and they give you a look, they'd be like, oh nah, you're lit, right? So I'll never forget. I was at the strip club, right? And we're all just chilling there, bro. Like, I'm throwing some singles on the stage. I'm like, whatever the fuck. I'm making my little TP of fucking singles right there. It's fucking great. You're building a little castle, bro. It's great. And they knock it down or whatever the fuck, right? So I'm there. And this one girl comes out. And she immediately looks at me, bro. And she gives me this look. I give her this look back. I'm like, bet. I'm getting a fucking dance right after this. Because I'm going to go talk to her and tell her about the podcast and all this shit, right?
Oh,
and
it was
mad. That's the story
he ain't stand down either. She looked right back.
Hell yeah, bro. I was like, hell yeah. So it's funny. So, and she knew exactly. I thought, maybe she thought I was trying to be like crazy with her, but it wasn't even like that. Because as soon as she got off that stage, she came right up to me. And she's like, you want to dance? I'm like, hell yeah. And I guess I just seemed like this horny fuck, right? I don't know. So I was ready. I went in there. And as she sat me down and she's about to start dancing on me and shit. And I was like, can I have a minute of your time, please?
Hey. She was like, oh, nah, he's not trying to pay.
He was like, would you like to hear the word of Jesus Christ?
It was so funny because what she said, it was so funny because I was just like, yo, like, can I ask you about something? And then she's like, can I still dance on you? And I was like, yeah, but like, I want you to actually listen. You know what I mean? Like, I want you to listen to me, please. You
I'm
know?
Not just venting.
Yeah. And it's funny. Like, you know, she starts doing her thing and everything. And, you know, like doing she's fucking thing. Giving like, yeah, she's giving a lap dance, whatever. And like, but it's funny because like halfway through it, like I was like, nah, I run this podcast and everything. Yo, she stopped. And she sat right next to me, bro. She sat right next to me. We just started talking. We started kicking it up. And she's like, yeah, no, I do this. She told me her real name because every stripper has like a fake name, right?
Yeah.
That shit turns me on when they tell you their real name.
Really?
That does sound hot, actually.
Yeah.
So, this girl, so we just started talking. She's like, yeah, I love supporting like small business stuff. I still have her on Instagram. I don't know if she'd be looking at these podcasts, but yo, we need to get a kick in ASAP because she has her own business too. And it's crazy. Like she was just like, oh, I love supporting small business too. Like, let me know. We get on, we can get a kick in. So yeah, and she's actually from Atlanta. She moved from Atlanta to Jersey, which is a weird.
Yeah. I feel like it's usually the opposite. Yeah.
Especially with the strip clubs.
Mm-hmm. And the strip clubs here aren't even that
pretty crazy. Mid. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Unless you go to Atlantic City, you get some crazy shit over there.
Oh, I've never been.
Crazy shit. Yeah, no, I'll take you, bro. If you ever out in Atlantic City,
I'm
bro,
down. No, Loki, let's do it this week.
I was just like, yo, my girl's tomorrow? Listening right now. I can't be.
Nah, she's the type that'll come with me.
Oh, yo, word. Yeah.
Shout out,
yo,
niece.
If you want to come through with us, let's all go, bro. We be so lit.
Niece, especially
with
you.
Yo, especially with your girl. Whenever you have a girl in the strip club, bro, it's the littest shit ever, bro. It's the littest shit ever.
You never been to a strip club?
Nah, I've never been. Nah.
It's kind of wild.
Yeah, it is kind of wild. Especially if you go to the right one. All the ones around here, like in North Jersey, they're kind of whack. But
it's like all the etiquette that you ever learned in life is now not. Like,
yeah. That's just wild. You ever been to the ones in Patterson?
Nah, Elizabeth.
Those are probably fucking like wild. Yeah. Too, bro. Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. Bro. I went to one in Patterson, bro, and it's like, wow. Like, this is bro, not regular.
They're naked.
Like, wait, what? You be going to the naked ones?
They be all
well,
naked.
Yeah.
Like dead naked? Like
it's not legal in Jersey to do
but
that.
They but they be like, doing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not
I don't know how I feel
all.
About that. Wait, can you still get, like, was the food good? Like, is that true? Have you guys eaten there?
I've actually never eaten
Me
at a
neither.
Strip club yet.
I don't think I would.
But my boy actually recently, there's a strip club over here in Wayne. It's called Lace. Apparently, he ordered, like, some chicken fingers and shit. And, like, you know, like, he was like, yo, that shit was fire. And it was funny. I was, me and my boy was randomly one day. He's like, yo, you want to get a drink? And I was like, yeah, I'll go get a drink. He's like, you want to get it at Lace? And I was like... I was like, bro, it's Tuesday. Like, what are you talking about? Yo. Bro, we went up there, and bro, it was mad funny. Like, this one girl, bro, she came up to me, and she was cracked, though, bro. Like, she was sitting next to me, and she's like, yo, I'm going to get the salad. And I was like, is the food here kicking? And she's like, yeah, it's kicking. And I was like, all right, bet. But then she started telling me, she was like 19, and she was like, yeah. She's,
hey,
like,
yo.
She's like, yeah, my baby daddy, like, you know, I just had a kid, and like, you know, I got to support.
Hey, yo.
Yeah, some girls be like, wow. But, like, a lot of them honestly be mad chill, bro. Mad show. I went to the ones down in Miami, and that's just fire.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just fire. Yeah, my bad, fellas. I'm just talking here about strippies.
Nah, I was about to continue the conversation.
You know, he was. He's been through it because he calls them strippies.
Strippies.
Yeah, the strippies. Nah,
stripper. Yo, I gotta ask you this question,
please.
Don't all strippers have that same scent, and it smells amazing? It's like some specific Victoria's Secret fragrance, and yeah, that shit smells amazing.
It's how they get you.
Nah, I'm I have, every time I smell that scent, I'm like,
hey, yo.
Nah, bro.
They getting them singles from Groovy.
Nah, they be getting, bro, when I was like 18, like fresh out of high school, I was getting robbed.
That's crazy. Oh, you went to the strippy like right after high school?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild. I didn't hit on my first strippy until I was 21.
See, now that's kind of not my vibe. But like, yeah, as a little 18, horny as fuck, I was in there. Yeah, bro.
That's funny as hell, bro. Yeah. I feel like strippy's not, it depends. Like, it has to be, it used to be like a vibe when I was like first going and shit. You know what I mean? Because like, oh my God, this is the first time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm seeing ass for like $2.
$2.
This is wild, bro. And especially like, I feel like it's definitely something like, bro, like, I love Patterson with all my heart, bro. And like, the strippies is just something like you had to experience for the culture, right?
Damn, we gotta
like,
go to Patterson,
dude. Out, though, I shit you not, the strippies out there are just straight up brothels, bro. They're brothels.
Done that.
Yeah, nah. Yeah, definitely no. Yeah.
He was like, definitely yes. Yeah. He was
like, but it's wild. Actually, me and my boy went there. It's crazy. This is actually the first strip club I ever went to. It was in Patterson. I'm not gonna say the name of it because I don't want them closed down.
Hey, yo.
But it was wild. We went in there, and it's weird because you look around and there's regulars there.
Yeah,
like, you could tell who are the regulars, right? And like, there's like some old guys, and they're all creeps, but they'd be balling with money, bro. Like, you be counting the singles they throw, and you're like, yo, you just spent a rack, bro. That's wild. Like, who are you, right? And then, bro, I never forget. I went there, and my boy, he's a taller, slender, good looking dude, right? Bro, there was this big girl, bro. I'm talking like 300 pounds, like, and she was feeling him, bro, and she would not let him go.
He
was like, go,
he took that down?
Yeah. Actually, you know what? To this day, I think he took it down, to be honest. But like, because they were gone away for like 20, 30 minutes.
He took that down.
Yeah, he definitely, took that down. But she was wilding, bro. And you know,
the girls need love too, bro.
Hell yeah, bro. There's more to love, you know? More cushion for the pushing. You feel me?
Like, for sure.
Alejandro, my bad, bro.
What?
I feel
oh, because I never been to the strippy. No, I enjoy the conversation.
You got to just see it one time. It's like bizarro world. Like,
it is bizarro. You play GTA?
Yeah.
That's exactly how it is.
I've been there.
I feel like it's worse than how it is on GTA.
Okay, yeah, GTA, they'd be nice. GTA is, if you like, go to a classy one, like, yeah, then it's good.
Oh,
GTA,
yeah.
The security guard be like pressing me in GTA.
Sometimes they'd be pressing you at the strip club, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Because even if you take out your phone to text or whatever,
yo,
they'll be
like,
yo,
put that shit away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They don't want you like taking pictures of the girls.
Film the girls. Nah, which I guess is very feminist of them. Shout out to them.
Shout out to them, bro. Shout out to every single bodyguard person.
For sure. All the bouncers at the club.
The bouncers at the club. So, fellas, actually, I think what we were talking before, right before we got into strippies, was actually a really interesting conversation.
Yes.
Image. How you're viewed online. How you want to be viewed. Being, I don't know if it's good to be overly obsessed with that or how much time is supposed to be put into that. Because, like, for example, for me, I don't give a fuck. Like, I actually rather come into every single podcast with this black shirt and some regular shorts every time. Because, number one, podcast is always about you guys. You know, I always want the attention on y'all. And, like, you know, I love being me. But, like I said, we're here for you. But it's weird because, like, social media is a weird fucking place. I fucking hate it. I hate social media. Yeah. Even though I post all the time, you know, I think there's a beautiful side to it, but then there's also a side that's like, damn, how much of what people view of you online is real and legit, you know?
True.
And how do you match the persona you're trying to do comparative to who you actually are.
I think you have an image, though, even if you don't realize it. Like, you're like, I can tell from your Instagram or from your content that you're very inquisitive, that you're a good conversationalist, that you're a nice guy. And, like, being here with you right now, like, it's the same. Like, it's like, if I saw you on Instagram, then I met you, I'd be like, oh, okay.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm. So I think you have that, like, kind of without trying.
Very true.
But I think image is really important. And I think it doesn't matter if... I feel like it doesn't matter if it's real or not, because low-key, being an artist is not the same as, like, being a real person. So, like, who I am as an artist doesn't necessarily have to be, like, who I am at, like, the grocery store, you know?
That's facts.
Word. Actually, you know what's funny? Not that I've never thought about it like that, but I've never really heard anybody actually,
you
like,
gotta, like, separate.
Yeah, it's different, yeah.
You're a character, you know? But, like, with the image thing, like, I'm someone that cares about it, like, a lot. Like, I will get mad as fuck. Same. If I'm outside and I'm, like, bummy and someone I know sees me, or someone that I know knows me sees me, I will, like, get mad at myself. Like, that's why every time I come out, like, I have to wear something just in case and da-da-da. Like, keep it consistent because I care about that.
Jeans got to be huge.
Do I think that matters, like, to get the music off? Not as much as I'm making it. But, yeah, that's definitely something I think about every day for sure. But, yeah, it is different. It's a character for sure. Like, because, like, it's, like, everything... Like, it's, like, who you are dramatized, you know? Because art is entertainment, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you watch a movie, it's, like, it's always the, what's the word? It's always, like, the max. It's never, oh, it's in between. Like, for example, on a regular day, you might feel in the middle. It's never peak depression or peak anger, you know? But entertainment calls for, like, the
drama.
Know? So that's the same thing. When you're this character, you're this artist, you know, like... You're acting.
When you hit the stage, it's got to be crazy. When you put on a song, like when you're releasing music, it's got to be crazy. If you're getting a fit off, it's got to be crazy. And I think sometimes, like, there's a difference between flexing and pushing your brand. Because, like, every time I post or every time I'm, like, seen, I don't need to be flexing on you, but I do need to be pushing my brand forward every time you see me. And I think there's a difference.
And yeah, I feel like a difference in that is like acting like you got this whip, but you like saw it parked or something. You know what I mean? That is wild. Yeah. You know, like you don't got to do that. Yeah. Like that is more like you're just trying to flex something you don't have. But like,
yeah.
But yeah.
So do you think that the judgment you put on yourself, does that ever affect the judgment that you have on other people?
For sure.
Oh, if
for sure,
bro. There have been some artists that are like on like that we all know. That I'm like, I wish he dressed better. Like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, this man wearing a flannel. Like, bro, why are you not drippy right now, bro? Like,
if I ever see Cardi in a Nike tech, I'm deleting all his music. You know, like that. I'm never listening to him ever
for sure. As to it, you know, like, if you're not drippy, I'm like, you lose some points. You do, at least for me. Yeah, but it depends who you are. You know, if you sing a songwriter, even then though, they have a certain drip. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like, just how you said, you know, you come to every session, like, with your black shirt. That's kind of part of your bag. Like the hat. The V-cut. Like, you look like you do this. You know what I mean? Word. You got to play the part of what you're doing. I think that's really important.
Because, like, and it's important not to, like, judge people off appearance, of course. Because you might see somebody and they're a goat, right? But if someone introduces me to you, and, oh, this is Alejandro, he's a great producer, and I'm wearing sweats and a dirty tee, you're not going to think he's nice. If I came looking, like, dressed, you're going to be like, oh, okay, like, word, he's probably dope, like, you know.
Whatever. And I want to make a crazy point about this guy. Everyone always points to this guy, right? J. Cole is playing a role.
Oh, it's a good role. I like it, too.
J. Cole is playing a role. Everyone's like, oh, see, J. Cole doesn't care about chains, whips, or money. He just comes, and he's humble, and he's on his fucking bike at the... That is a role, and he's playing it amazingly, and you guys are just falling right into his hands.
And it don't look bad, though. It looks
good.
No,
yeah, it doesn't look bad, but he's playing a role. Like, that's a character he's playing.
And it works with his, like, lanky...
And it works with his brand. It works with the type of music that he makes. Every artist cares about image. They're lying if they say they don't. And J. Cole, just like everyone else does, in my opinion.
But Cole does a good job. Like he
picked
a good one.
Yeah, he's doing
like,
good.
He's not one of them that I'm like, why doesn't he dress better? Like, I never... think that
he's like, doing exactly what he should be doing.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the shoes. Nah.
So where do you guys get your inspiration of fashion from? Like, what makes somebody drippy?
Oh, it just gotta be something I've never seen before.
Cool and body silhouette. Proportions, like how your body proportions are. You need to dress for that.
That's more important than anything, because like, you can wear all blank stuff, but if it fits on your body nicely, crazy, yeah. I'm gonna be like, wow,
yeah,
you know. And like, if for me, like if they wear something I've never seen before, like if they're bold with it, if they're wearing a goofy hat, but like it goes crazy with the drip, yeah, and their confidence is there, I'm like, wow, you're fire.
Colors that match your skin. Like, drip doesn't mean like your whole shit's Balenciaga.
Yeah,
drip is like, do you look put together and interesting? In my opinion.
Especially now, like, most of us, we thrift or something, you know, so it's not like we're flexing expensive shit.
Whole fit was like $12.
Honestly. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, you're just making it work and it still looks good, you know? But
weird.
Yeah.
Weird. I always feel like, it's funny, I've always tried to get my drip up, like, because, I don't know about y'all, but like, when I was young, bro.
Yeah, I was wilding.
Man, you talk about like that classic Latino just came off the boat type drip.
He was wearing Aeropostale.
Bro, I was wearing Aeropostale. Actually, yeah.
Me too.
I was wearing Aeropostale.
Yeah. I was making it work though, low key.
I was not making it work, bro.
Well, I was trying.
Bro. I was wearing a shirt that was like two sizes too big, Aeropostale. I was wearing fitted snapbacks.
Me too.
I was wearing baggy shorts, bro. Like, yeah, fat shorts down to the ankles, bro. Yeah.
You had the jean vest on with the snapback?
I wasn't cool enough for a jean vest. But I was wearing like all blue fitted cap. Yo, Vans, basketball shorts, but they were like white. Like, hey, yo. It was really bad.
Elite socks?
But I always cared. You know, I always tried to put the fit on. Even if it was bad, I was trying. And that's where it leads to where we're at now, you know?
Now he rocking Rick.
Low key.
For sure.
Yo, I definitely got a bar already. It's no lie.
I'm rocking Rick, no Morty.
Facts.
You know, it's crazy. So what is some advice you guys have for looking drippy on a budget? Because I think that's the biggest thing as well. You know, like, I'm at a point now where, like, you know, sometimes I'll be rocking the Yeezys. I'll find a good deal and stuff. But I think it's hard because, like, some people want to be drippy, but, like, it's just hard to do it. Like, you know, to get the name brand shit is
I
hard.
Got the formula for you. You ready?
Please tell me.
Get a really nice designer pair of shoes. For me, they're Rick. I'm a Rick demon. Get a nice fitting pair of pants that fit you nicely, and then just get any vintage top. Boom. Bust and fit.
For me, it's like thrifting changed the game for me, bro. When I remember Pablo from James Street put me onto, in college, he put me onto thrifting. After that, it was, my drip went from like maybe 20, and I thought I was killing it too, bro. I was mad regularly. I was shopping at the mall. Like,
I need to see pics of
bro, that. I went from 20 to like 80 just off the thrift. Like, just me figuring out, trying different shit, da-da-da. And all that shit's dumb cheap. It's getting a little bit more expensive now. But bro, I could leave with a whole wardrobe for $50.
True.
No, that's dead ass. Nah, for real. Like people paying $50 for a shirt. Like, nah, the whole wardrobe, leather jacket. Yeah. Sometimes you find Nike's shoes. I've seen people that find J's at the thrift for real. Like,
I got a pair of Laser Ones from the thrift for $50.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Cause yeah, I remember when I was little, bro. Like, I'll never forget it, bro. Like, I grew up like mad poor, bro. Like, you know, just making it, just like, you know, classic like immigrant struggle, right? Mm-hmm. I'll never forget, like, my mom, she got me. It's weird. I have this weird relationship with like fashion and like feeling comfortable being more drippy. I think as I've gotten older, I've kind of gotten over like my childhood, I guess, trauma.
Like the intention it brings?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it does.
Yeah, because I remember like all my boys like were having Jordans. I remember when phone posits were the shit and like everybody had them shit. So I never had shit. I never forget. I think there were a pair of Jordan 7s, bro. Maybe. I think that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But, bro, straight up, bro, my mom, like, spent her whole check just getting out these shoes for me, bro.
Damn.
I remember putting them on, and she was like, okay, walk over there. Walk over here.
And you're like,
making sure they fit, you know?
You were like, nice.
Yeah. I was like, this is great.
I know
great.
You're a geek,
yeah. This is great, bro. And it's crazy, because I have a weird relationship with just shoes in general, because, like, for the longest time, I did not give a fuck, bro. I was like, yo, shoes are meant for just wearing. Like, why the fuck would I take care of them? And it's crazy, because those Jordans, the same ones, like, my bike didn't have a brake, so what else was I going to use that brake? The heel of my
heel
fucking,
of
like,
shoe.
You know, the heel of my shoe, right? And them shits got
that
fucked
heel drag,
up.
Yeah.
Bikes
yeah.
are a vibe. Mm-hmm. I fuck with bikes.
I be riding bikes heavy.
Yeah.
Weird. Telling you, bro, you know, you can get fly on a budget. You just gotta have nice shoes, nice fitting pants, cool shirt.
The confidence, too.
Yeah.
There's this dude on TikTok wearing a Minion shirt from like Walmart, Luca, and he killing it. He killing it, bro. Like, nothing crazy. Yeah, it's also that's why. What do you think of skaters? They're always drippy as fuck.
Yeah,
like, they got Vans.
But they be wearing regular shit.
Vans
though.
And baggy pants.
Yeah,
baggy shirt. Like
and vintage it looks, tee.
Yeah, yeah.
The formula. Yeah, it works.
That's the formula right now. So how do you guys keep up with like the So besides like you know the stuff that's like you know affordable, then what's like top drip for you guys?
I got drip. Rick. That's the most.
I do be wearing Rick.
That's it. That's designer shoe.
Yeah, like,
that's what Rick. I. That's the most I've ever spent on an article of clothing.
Yeah.
How much? How much is like a pair of Ricks?
Dang, you about to drop the tag?
Nah, it ranges from like what, like three to like 1500.
Yeah.
Because there's different types. There's boots. Yeah, yeah. There's you know regular shit. Whatever.
Yeah. Then so, there's the collab. Like the collabs are cheaper, but like there's some that are like. Racks.
Yeah, and it's been great. I love my Ricks so much. Like,
and they last. What's important to me is like quality and functionality. Like, you can get a pair of Ricks and it'll last you 10 years.
And you
like,
can sell it and maybe
and
the
it
same
retains
price.
Their value.
Maybe.
Yeah.
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 So it is an investment in that way, low key.
Like Ricks or like certain type of Gucci, like high, like designer stuff. There is like a value to it that people like to overlook. Like you can sell them back for the same price. You can get them repaired. Like you can't get a pair of Jordans repaired. No one's going to repair that. But if I take like a pair of nice boots with a broken zipper, that I can get it fixed for $20 and like add 5 more years to my boots, you know?
And then like in terms of affording it, I mean, I feel like people who do it, either they want to stunt or they actually like this. Like I like this shit, you know, yeah. Like it's exciting to me. I like popping out. I love the attention. Like that's something I've learned that about myself. I'd like it a lot. Like I like to, the way I dress it, there's usually something that's like loud, you know, but what's it called? In terms of affording it, it's just, you know, fucking dropping that bag.
When
you
hammer.
Can, when you can, if you're responsible, like I'm cheap as fuck, like I'm pretty financially responsible, but like, yeah, it hurt me doing it, but I'm happy I did.
I'll eat scrambled eggs for a week just to afford Ricks.
I feel that. Yeah. I actually just switched to peanut butter and jelly instead of going out.
I like peanut butter.
But I bought a bag of bread upstairs, bro.
What kind of bread?
It's just regular white bread, bro.
Okay,
for sure.
You know what's kind of crazy? Wait, do you like? Toast it or leave it regular? What do you do?
We don't have a toaster here.
Are you regular? So. I was going to say, sometimes I like it regular.
Yeah, oh yeah, I like it regular.
Even a
yeah.
sandwich, though. Sometimes, yeah. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I don't know if that's crazy.
Nah, I be eating regular.
Nah, bro. Nah, you're right. Like, actually, I'm kind of weird with some of my foods. I don't know about y'all. I eat very weird. Like, for me, like, with the peanut butter jelly sandwich, like, I'm always like, let me just get the shitty part out first. So I'll eat the crust first.
Yeah. If I didn't like crust, but I like crust.
I don't mind crust, you know what I mean? But a lot of people hate it. A lot of people hate the.
So you eat your sandwich like this?
Yeah.
I've done that for before, but like for fun.
I do it sometimes because just be like, yo, that last bite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that center bite. It's like, yeah. Bro,
it's
that
worth
shit
it.
Fucking like, yo, it's crazy. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing else that hits like that.
That's yeah. definitely underappreciated.
Fucking, yeah, I'm definitely weird. Like I won't eat like that in front of other people because I just be like, yo, they're going to see me. You know what I mean? Just like doing the bullshit. Sometimes even with pizza, bro, I'm fucking weird with pizza too, bro.
Eat the crust first.
Bro, sometimes I'll eat the crust
first. Nah, that
yeah,
is
I swear
nuts.
To God, I know. It's fucking weird.
That is nuts.
Because I'll just be like, yo, this is the driest part.
So how do you hold it?
Yeah, that's nuts.
Bro, I don't know, bro. It's just like, it holds still without a crust, bro. You feel me? Like, you just, I don't know, you just fold it, bro. Mm.
Hey, yo.
I used to, you know, growing up, I didn't fold it. And then as I got older, I folded it. I was like, this is a vibe.
Yeah,
fold
yo, it. Yo, we're going to hear some weird shit.
Yeah.
I was just a fat little kid, bro. I used to be mad fat. But, I would like roll it like a blunt.
Yeah. That sounds kind of fire. Like I've never done that before.
Yeah, I would eat it like a Tostito.
I used to do that as a kid.
Yeah.
Bro, well, I've never done that.
Dude, I used to be chunky as kid, bro. Oh. Funny as hell, I was in this pizza eating contest once when I was a kid, bro. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget it, bro. I like when I'm competing and shit, like I'm mad competitive, bro.
Okay.
Especially if I feel like I could like keep up. Yeah. Like, I'm like, mad competitive.
That's when it comes out for me too. When
and
I know.
I'll never forget, bro. They just took out these brand new pizzas and this other kid, and he's like, yo, I could eat more than you. I'm like, have you seen me, bro? Like, the fuck? Like, you know you can. So we start eating them, but it was too hot, right? Mm. So, bro, I shit you not. Like, this just came out. I think I was like, had to be like 10 years old, bro. Like, I had this big ass cup of soda, bro. I took the pizza. I dunked that shit in the soda. I took it out and I dogged a whole large pie by myself.
Wait,
doing that shit.
So
bro.
Did you like roll up the
yo,
pie or you did
menace.
It per slice?
Nah, bro. I was not like menace to society type shit. Nah, per slice, bro. I was like,
oh,
just, you know what I mean? Just dunking it.
You were gonna win. You won?
Yeah, I did win.
Yo, and
he threw
win.
Up. Yeah, no, he threw up. He threw up, bro.
Damn.
Pussy down. Fuck you, bro. Nah,
hey, yo. We put him in a pack, too. That's three people in a pack.
So, guys, we're coming pretty close to the end of the podcast, but there was a couple things I did want to get out that I think would be beneficial for people to hear. Who are some of your biggest musical influences and why?
Oh, Lord. Kanye West. I think that's my favorite artist ever. Like, as basic as that sounds, like, it's for a reason. You know, no one has had a run like him ever. No one. That I know of. No one.
Like in hip hop? Or in general?
I could argue ever. If you want to say, like, Mike or something.
I was going to say Mike.
Kanye probably got more. Does he have more albums than him? Would you say? I'd have to hear.
I feel like even if he does, it's not the same impact.
I feel like people forget after the first three or four, fam. I'm telling you. I'm here to argue, but listen. So yeah. Kanye is number one for me, for sure. And then like production side, when I first started, I was sampling heavy, like Madlib, Kanye again, fucking Alchemist, like all these people I love to death. Like they were so like they are so good, you know. But then once I stopped sampling, because you know we're at this level where like there's no point in sampling, we can't get that clear, da da da, you know, whatever. So I stopped sampling, and then I started appreciating more like Pharrell, Timbaland, Scott Storch, like all these people that are legends, like legends. And it's like I always love them. So when I stopped sampling, I'm like, all right, who can I like learn from that I think is as good as like a Madlib, Kanye, but at this non-sampling thing? And it's them, you know. So definitely Pharrell, Kanye for sure. As a producer, like I want to be that super producer, you know. I grew up on Dr. Dre. Like I am that person that like has a family of artists, and we, you know, like we're growing, da da da, whatever. Like I developed them, you know. And yeah, for sure them. Yes, I can name a bunch that are like a little less. Like I love Outkast so much and shit.
Outkast.
What? You're a big Andre person.
Andre 2000 is my favorite rapper. Like
for sure.
But like artist is Kanye. Yeah. That is fuck. I hate how basic it sounds, bro, but it's for a reason, bro. Drake, for sure.
Drake
for sure. Bro, that's my king, bro. That's my sad king, bro. I love Drake for sure. But yeah, I'll let you go.
Hip hop wise, like for my personal, like as a rapper, I would say my top three biggest inspirations are probably Schoolboy Q, ASAP Ferg.
Ferg is underrated.
Yeah. I feel like people sleep on that he just had bangers, like club bangers. And he was weird. Like, I like the people who get weird delivery off.
Huh, now you got a point. Both of them are super like that, yeah.
Like, they have very weird delivery, weird inflection. I'm trying to think besides those two who would have really inspired what I do. Maybe, like, Busta Rhymes. Like, if you want to go old. One. Yeah, like
Missy.
Missy, yeah. Anyone who's got like that bounce with the weird shit.
So fire.
Like a club banger with like an edge. Like that's what I was into. For other genres, Michael Jackson is my biggest inspiration. When he died, for some reason my dad just like gave us the entire education of Michael Jackson.
As he should. That's what I would do.
That's the king right there.
For sure.
Yeah, like when Michael Jackson died, my dad was like, all right, like I'm gonna teach you guys about Michael Jackson. Right, so kids. For 2 years, we only listened to Michael Jackson. Like me and my sister, we had the This Is It movie. Like we were listening to the albums, the game. All of them.
Nah, This Is It Week.
Nah, we didn't. Wait, yo, we did have the game. Hey, yo, I had the glove. Yo, I'm remembering. We had the white glove and I would be like doing the dances and shit. But yeah, I love Michael Jackson. He's like, his songs are amazing. And even though he wasn't like writing all of them, his like emotional delivery on any song he's ever been on is always good. Even the songs that aren't popular, like even the ones that didn't go super mainstream, he is way far ahead than most people. Beyonce is a huge inspiration to me. Frank Ocean.
Ooh, yeah. Frank Ocean, man.
But I feel like Frank Ocean is like
legend.
Well, of course, but like he I hear influences in his music from like a lot of older people.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, for sure.
Like Marvin Gaye? That's the only one I can think of sometimes.
Just like his layering and like a lot of his melodies in those long runs, I feel like it just comes from older artists.
That writing, though, I feel like I haven't heard that besides him.
He does write very well.
That one thing I noticed is that like I think there hasn't been an album that I've listened to every single year. Like the only one I can think of is Channel Orange. Like if you really think about it, bro, like one of those songs had to be played at least once every single year before it dropped, since it dropped.
Yeah.
And it's almost been 10 years, maybe 10 years this year. I feel like it dropped 2012. I could be wrong, but
I'm unsure.
I'm unsure as well.
But yeah.
Frank Ocean is great. Who was I going to say? I lost my. Janet Jackson with the layering.
Fire. Velvet Rope.
Oh, my favorite, Sierra. I love Sierra, oh bro. I love
that
Sierra.
That was so random.
Bro, nah. Club banger shit, oh, Sierra has it, bro. Yeah, I love Sierra.
I remember being horny at that video. Like,
true.
For real.
True.
Bro, you know who underrated Akon?
Akon's.
Bro, and he's from Newark. Like,
he's from Newark? I didn't know that.
Dead ass. No lie. He talks about Newark in his songs.
Really?
Like, yeah.
That's crazy.
What I never noticed, because, you know, I just heard the singles, but I recently went to his albums or whatever. And he doesn't have, like, a classic, like, front to back, like, banger album, but he just has beautiful songs, right? Mm. And the whole time, he's singing, but about hard thug shit. Like, literally, like, locked up. He just talks about, like, literally, like, get it, like, selling drugs, getting caught, going to jail. And then the rest is like, no. Yo, it's the best. Like, he's dope.
Oh, T-Pain.
Oh, stop,
T-Pain is
bro.
A huge inspiration to me.
Wow.
Huge, very huge inspiration to me.
Me too, production-wise. Like, can't believe it. I try to make that beat every single fucking time. Like,
low-key, your beats. Yo, low-key, your beats sound like
Can't Believe It. I love Can't Believe It so much. That the feature, him, the hook, that beat. Wow. Yeah. I love that song. That's my favorite
Who's
song by him.
Another good, like, I feel like Rick James is, like, people might not see it. Like, I listen to a lot of Rick James. Mm. He's just very, like, wacky.
Yeah, that's a kooky guy.
But, like, with the melodies still, though, and, like, the energy, you know? Rick James, James Brown, Prince.
Mm. Prince is
people who are... Prince fan? Yeah, I'm studying him right now. I'm, like, at the first two albums, just really getting the feel.
Prince is really dope, and when you get into his documentaries, too, and how he just put everything together... You know,
he composed really everything, dope. Yeah.
Hell yeah, he's
wild.
Really cool about that shit. And especially like when you look into what happened with his label.
Yeah.
How he finessed and everything. You know, it's just really cool when you see artists who are like, it's like the music is the number one thing.
Yeah.
You know? It's like everything else is secondary.
He was super moody too. That's what I like.
Wait, I feel like you're saying like the diversity in his music, but I'm saying how like weird he was as a person. I'm like, I love that shit.
He was super like
stoic, bougie. I loved it.
And I feel like Loki, he like had beef with Michael Jackson, which is just like, you got to have some huge balls to have beef with
Michael
Jackson.
It was him or the other, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's really won in a war with beef against Michael Jackson. I mean, like,
Prince didn't win for sure, but he, you know, he held his ground.
Yeah.
Even Eminem. Eminem had beef with Michael Jackson.
Really? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because then he made the song. What's that one with the in the music video? He's dancing like Michael Jackson at the end, and he loses his nose and shit.
I don't. It's one of the big singles.
Yeah.
I don't remember though.
Just Lose It.
I feel like it was that too. That's what I was thinking.
Just Lose It. Go crazy.
Yeah, I used to listen to hella Eminem. Yo,
Marshall Mathers LP 5.
I used to listen to hella Eminem growing up.
Eminem's disrespected nowadays, bro. Like,
you know what's
crazy?
Because
the content is.
I feel like
you feel me?
I feel like with everything he's been putting out, it made me forget how much I used to listen to him growing up, like in middle school and shit. I was a big Eminem fan.
Did I tell you he produced that Smack That beat? Smack That. You know he made that beat?
Wow,
Eminem.
Really?
Eminem.
Well, Smack That is fire too.
Hell yeah.
D12, bro.
Oh yeah, TBT.
Me and my band. Yeah, that's my shit.
I was listening to Slaughterhouse and shit. Like, I was the boy.
Oh, he had his backpack on tight as hell.
If you weren't doing like triple shits, I wasn't with it at the time.
Yo.
Well, fellas, I got one more question for you guys. We'll end the podcast on this question. What advice do you have? And I want to ask the opposite. So what advice do you have for artists?
Oh, Lord.
To work well with some producers? And what advice do you have for some producers to get better at working with artists?
To get better with... Wait, you're artists working better with a producer? That's what I'm asking. I mean, that's what I'm answering.
So you're from a producer's perspective asking an artist,
how can they work better with you? I mean, again, it's kind of what I said before is being open, you know, because that takes it. You got to have the ego aside. You know, after a while, that ego's not there anymore. But like, you know, maybe before, especially if you had your own thing going on before you met with the producer and they might say something, it's quick to be like, who the fuck are you? You know, but if you listen, you can get led the right, being able to be led, being able to be coached, being coachable, you know, like back to sports, being coachable. If you're like that player that don't give a fuck, you know, like there's a benefit to having a coach or whatever. Being a good guy, a good person, you know, like shit. And being not necessarily loyal, but being appreciative, and having like certain people around consistently, because that is what builds you, you know. And like, I'm not saying Groovy can't fuck with nobody else, like obviously not, but like I think it's cool when they're like, hey, I got beats from this one person. I'm like, oh, that's fire. Like, is it good? And if it is, I might feel like, damn, I need to step my shit up, you know, which is great. Facts. But it's just remembering, you know, if it's a real shame if an artist blows up and they leave how they blew
their
up.
Their main producer.
Because then they're going to make some boring shit with whoever random beats they got it from, you know.
That happened to hella rappers.
Yeah, that's why it's always sad when that happens. I'm like, damn, you know. You see people that stuck with it the whole way and their shit's still dope, like Brent, like all of TDE, you know, like all these people. But yeah.
I think on a producer's, for the producers, in my opinion, what they could do is like treat everyone on a case-by-case basis. Like, I don't want your template that you think works for everybody because you think that's the sound that's hot or that's the style that's hot. Like, get to know me, get to know what I'm about, get to know what environment I thrive in, what type of music I thrive on, and be open to, like, ideas. Like, a lot of times, like, when I sit with Alejandro, I'll be like, oh, like, can we try this sound? Or, like, can we try that type of hi-hat? Or, like, can we change this a little bit? I guess it's kind of the same advice that he gave, like, be open. Be open to my ideas, even if I know less than you, and I think that's important. I've worked with producers before who, because like I was less skilled than them, or even like I didn't know the lingo or the terminology, they didn't respect my opinion. But I do have ideas and I do have an opinion, and my opinion matters. I just don't know it as fine-tuned as you do because I'm not a producer. So being open to the artist's ideas, even if they can't articulate it in the same way you can.
Word. Guys, great answers, great guests. Please let the people know where they can find you on your socials and any shout-outs that you got to do now. Get them out of the way.
Oh man, you can find me at Steel Alejandro. That's Steel, STEAL Alejandro, everywhere. Shout out God, shout out my family, shout out my friends, shout out my girl, shout out my brother, shout out James Street, shout out my guys, because I found myself surrounded. I used to be in a group, and now I found myself surrounded by a great team and family, like a couple artists I'm working with. Shout out Angel. That's the other, I work with a singer. That's Angel. I work alongside her with Groovy right now. And like, we're doing beautiful things, and it's great. I'm starting to get back into it, full on producer mode, you know, artists, all this shit. So yeah, grateful. This year is great for a lot of people. I feel like I had this feeling from the beginning. 2022 is
it's been a good one so far.
It's like leveling up. People, yeah. Everyone is leveling up, and I've seen it in like family or us, you know, whatever. But yeah,
for sure.
Word.
I'm Groovy. You can find me at groovy.jew on Instagram. That's where my main platform. And Groovy in all caps is me on all streaming services. Please follow me on Spotify. I'm dropping soon. I want you to get the notification of it. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to this guy sitting next to me. Shout out to my band. Shout out to the people who I began making music with. Shout out to Vibro. Shout out to you for having us.
Thanks. Appreciate you. The Strippy King.
For sure.
the Strippy Soldier. For sure.
I'll get that tattooed on my arm. Hey,
and shout out to Jersey. Let's kind of be here a little bit more for each other, man.
Hell yeah.
If you need something from me, I got you. If I need something for you, help me out.
I didn't make it longer. You're Gucci. But one thing I do want to say, though, is like when they get on, sometimes they got to focus on themselves, get themselves right first. True, you feel me? I feel like some people be like, nah, they on, they whack. What the fuck? I'm still here. But it's like they got to get stable first. You know, they got to make sure they're right before they can help someone else, too. You know,
you know what they could do? My one last final thought is, throw shows in your hometown. If you're a bigger artist, throw shows in your hometown and give people the chance to open up for you. Because you never know how somebody could rock a show, rock a crowd, or even just the content that they have to share if you don't do it because you're trying to perform at SOBs.
Even in like New York, though, they can get somebody. They can get an opener that's one of you guys, you know?
Like, for sure. Yeah, like, for sure. That's true. Come to Jersey, put on Jersey artists. If you're doing a show, if you're doing a performance, help us out.
That's valid.
Guys, y'all already know the business. Go follow Alejandro. Go follow Groovy. Ayo Chill Podcast on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, OnlyFans. Anywhere you can find fucking podcasts or videos, we are on there. But guys, that's the end of the podcast. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Ayo Chill.
Sick, fellas.
Oh my God, taking that off was cool. Thank you.
Damn, now I feel like I can't hear. Oh my God.